listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 200 Fox Sports radio stations. 3 o'clock here in Vegas, 6 o'clock on the East Coast, drive time. We got a big hour of disputes. What do I mean? Vegas likes nothing better than the dummies outside of Vegas. And there is some condescension from some of the Vegas guys. I think Fez would be a great example with his haughty attitude. That Vegas versus the world, we love that we're right most of the time. We will bet you we're right. And speaking of Fez, he's one of the pros who know. He's here today. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, we now have a gambler joining us from L.A. He has a $100 bet against me. We can't wait. You know, I'm going to say it right now for those that missed it, Jonas, and he's in L.A. For those that missed it yesterday, Jonas made a bold statement. He said, the odds say, you know, those people in Vegas, they say the odds were very significant Kawhi would go or stay with Toronto. Brad, it was what, minus 250?
Yep.
And Jonas says, you know something? My feelings are the break, or, you know, less than that, it seems, and a minus 200. So what was funny was Jonas, who in 10 months on the show is 2-2 on his picks, and he's holding that. He said, that's as good as I can expect to go. I'm going 2-2. I'm going to protect the record. You would think Brad and Fez would be chomping or champing at the bit. And I said, all right, guys, do you want to book Jonas's bet? Fez's like, oh, no, I actually agree with him. And Brad, do you want to book his bet? And he said, no. So I had to do it for, you know, just representing Vegas. Jonas calls me the voice of Vegas. I'll take it. And I said, well, you know, Jonas, minus 200, you're saying I'll give you even money. And he, you know, it's like, what does he do? It's minus 200. He thinks the line should be. I'm saying even money. That means he would win double, right, Fez, whatever he bet, as if he, you know, versus if he laid 200, right? Because $2 to win $1 in minus 200. And if it's even money, which I was generously offering him, he would win double that, right?
Yeah, you're basically giving Jonas a lie detector test. Did he truly believe?
Well, that's what my whole life is. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Every minute on this show is like tens of thousands of dollars of value. And Jonas is spending like 3 minutes trying to get out of a $100 bet. So finally, I let him out of it. It's like, you know, let's just save the country the pain. And then he goes, no, I'll do it. So first question, Jonas, and please don't monologue. How are you feeling? And number two, please know that if I win, I'm going to donate it to your favorite charity.
That's great. And that charity is my back pocket. So
No. Favorite certified charity.
I feel great. And look, out of that.
His voice is up an octave.
Out of that long monologue, you failed to realize
yesterday
that I was pulling a Miyagi. We got out of that maybe the best tease in the history of this show, the longest monologue in the history of this show, and the first legitimate bet that I've made on this show in like 8 months. So out of all that, what came of it was Radio Gold.
That, you know, you might be right about the tease because we did stumble on that one. But let's be candid. I've had much longer monologues. So.
All right, so let's get into it, guys. And it was the NBA Awards last night. night. And the big one, of course, was the Most Valuable Player Award, which went to Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks. It was either him or James Harden, but it was Giannis getting the nod. He is your MVP.
You know, Brad, when you know you, I was actually at a undisclosed location yesterday by ISDN, and you were reading some of the odds. Oofa.
Yeah, I was struggling.
Oh, and you, I mean, did you actually graduate the enunciation class or did you drop out?
I dropped out.
I mean, did you pay anything? Because I would ask for a full refund.
I did pay.
Just bringing that tape.
Yeah.
But then Jonas is just like rubbing it in by saying the full pronunciation. He's got the little accent marks right on top. I mean, insane. All right. As I say Giannis, here's the question. Who disagrees? Meaning Harden, and I think Jonas is right, was the only other viable option. Brad, who did you think should win it?
James Harden.
Oh, wait. Daryl's still actually, our producer is actually still mic'd down because he was trying to interrupt me, which is not allowed. One second.
Oh, wait a minute.
Right, you're
was
back
on punishment
up
or something on the radio?
Well, you remember when you were trying to jump in and talk about all the RJs that were famous before?
Oh, man, you tripping, man. Stop
that. All right, so you disagree.
Yes, I disagree very strongly. I would have given my vote to James Harden.
Okay, and Jonas, you disagree.
I disagree. I would have given it to Harden as well.
Now, Fez, you agree with Harden.
Oh, strongly agree with
Harden. Giannis,
yes.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an old-fashioned crossfire is what we call this. And this is when we have two, or usually it's two people on one side, or one on one side, one on the other. Now, occasionally, it's been two-on-one. And like we said with Fez and the two, no. So what we'll do is give each of the Giannis people, well, I guess in this case, there's one Giannis person. Fez, you'll get a chance to rebut, but we're going to give each of the Harden people 30 seconds each, guys, because there's three of you. Brad Powers.
Well, I know it's not a scoring award, but James Harden had an historically great season. There was a 40-game stretch where James Harden averaged 40 games, 40-plus points per game. Only Will Chamberlain in the entire history of the NBA has been able to accomplish a feat. Basically half a season, you're averaging 40-plus points per game. I think that should have been rewarded. Therefore, James Harden should have been your MVP.
Okay, so here's the question. Well, one, it really does show you one thing. All the people through history that had flashes in sports of greatness. I mean, when I always hear about Don Drysdale and some of those streaks, and Koufax, I think even more so, you got to wonder with those shorter careers. And Gail Sayers, obviously, is a great example. How many players, if they had been injured, let's say, after 4 years, would we be looking at 20 years later and saying, oh, my, he could have been one of the greats? Or how often do we have a guy that has four great years and then he just drops off and then he's looked at as an above-average player across his career? Not saying that that's so much the case here, because obviously Harden has done well outside of those 40 games. But imagine if Harden's rookie season had started with those 40 games, and then he got hurt and could never play again. Mm. There would be such a – it's like almost like Jimi Hendrix in music. There's a lot of people – Jim Morrison. If Jim Morrison were 320 pounds talking about these kids don't know what music is, how much less sexy would the Doors be?
Yeah.
Right? So – That, but boy, Brad, that is a strong, strong statement. 40 games.
Averaging more than 40 points per game. Only Wilt.
And only Wilt.
Yeah.
My last thought on this is it a situation where is it easier to score today? Or I would say across the history of the NBA, today scoring's a little bit easier, but there's certainly been long periods. There's been more points scored per game by teams than there are now. So I would say We are in a scoring friendly period, but not the most scoring friendly period we've ever had.
I agree with that.
All right, so that's one for the loser, Harden. Jonas.
James Harden did something that only two players in the history of planet Earth have ever done, and that's average over 36 points a game in a season. And we forget that a lot of that was because Chris Paul was injured early on, and Harden was all that they had and all that they had to rely on. So I think people lose sight of the fact that James Harden had to play that way. It wasn't ideal. He said it himself, but they looked at it, and I think the reason Giannis got the award is because people don't maybe like how Harden plays, and it's not as aesthetically pleasing as some other scores.
Okay, that's interesting. So let's agree that Harden was in a situation where it didn't seem like he had a choice. Obviously, the team allowed it to happen, meaning the coach, the GM, Daryl Morey, etc. I think the idea he didn't have a choice, oh, shucks. I think he liked it.
Yeah.
Struck me. It doesn't change how impressive it was. It does bring up the point, though. Is it winning basketball? Because let me ask you a question. Do a little mind experiment. Imagine there was a player five times a game would shoot from three quarters court, literally from the other foul line. And let's say he made 3 out of 10 over the course of a season. Now, on one hand, that might be the most amazing thing we've ever seen. On the other hand, 3 3-pointers out of 10 is not winning basketball. We agree with that,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So amazing, unbelievable, but it leads to losing. Now, is that good? It's rare, but is it good? I would make the case with Harden, and we've often talked about this. Sometimes you decrease your chance to win now to increase your chance to win later. Belichick, the way he plays younger players in September, maybe decreases the chance of the Pats winning in September by a little, but it helps them win Super Bowls. Now, maybe Houston was right. The optimal play was Harden doing what he did during that injury period of some other players, Chris Paul, most notably. But then the question is, how was that going to affect Houston later? Where the disgruntledness of some of the other players that were healthy maybe carried over, and Harden got it in his brain. We always talk about reps. Oh, want to get good reps and all that stuff. In this case, maybe the reps were Harden just becoming so self-reliant, he couldn't shake that come the playoffs. So, yes, maybe good to win one or two more of those games during the injury stretch for Houston, but we can't lie. Didn't Houston seem a little less of a team even after that?
Yeah.
And that is what you got to keep in mind. A lot of these math guys are very good once you define the parameters, and their equation is going to compute exactly right. But are you asking the right question? It should be how to win most games now, and how is that going to affect our future games, especially the playoffs? Maybe that wasn't calculated. Now, when we come back, we're going to get one more Harden defender, and then Steve Fezzik all by himself is going to tell you why Giannis was right, and then me, RJ, will tell you for sure who won.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue our discussion about some controversy following last night's NBA Awards.
Thank you for joining us each day. Each weekday, we're here bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, it's 100 degrees. The neon is flowing. Jonas, I gave you every opportunity. So right here on the show yesterday, we said, spoiler alert, we know who's going to win these awards. And then, I mean, it's not even like clockwork. I'm not even sure how to say it. We ticked off six names. And Brad, how many did we win?
We won six. Six for six.
Perfection.
Yep. Yeah. Jordan, Michael Jordan finals.
Do you know how some people get premonitions? I'm one of them.
And somehow I figured Jonas, who is of this show, but also the other. One, by far the best looking guy. Two, he's in LA. He's a non-gambler.
And I get a feeling he's a little resentful sometimes because he does 5 hours with us. But, you know, we in his contract, there's a word count restriction. I'm not sure if he's read that, where he can only say so much. So he's, I mean, we love him, but he's not Vegas. And he does, how many hours do you do at the other lesser times than this show in a typical week?
11 on the weekends.
So 11, where you are pretty much doing all the talking as far as I can hear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I mean, and here where you've got your contractual word count.
Yeah, and I'm already right about there, so we got to get to it.
Oh, I mean,
here.
I got to be honest. The question is, do we blend it over a week? Or because if so, you might not be able to talk from here on, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you would think he would feel like he's part of this show. We went 6-0 on this, just like we were waking up. And I gave him the whole first segment. He didn't mention it one time. So take that for what it is, envy, jealousy, whatever. He could be forgetful. I don't think so. But Jonas, please, what I'd like you to do from here is as we tick down the rest, say, and something else that the Straight Out of Vegas guys got correct yesterday, the winner, you can do it in different ways where you integrate it, but please do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And sorry about that. I'm so caught up in my own
bet.
Oh, yes,
you seem real broken up.
I'm so caught up in my own bet, I can't be bothered with these other six bets. But no, we continue your hot streak of 6-0 at the NBA Awards. And the discussion we were having earlier, did they get it right by naming Giannis Antetokounmpo MVP over James Harden?
Yes. Now, so far, Brad Powers said
James Harden.
And Jonas, in a long-winded answer, said
James Harden. Yeah.
And we have producer Daryl, new to the team but beloved. He's got his thoughts.
James Harden also. And my two teammates made very strong points. Only thing else I'm going to add is through 78 games played this year, he's the first NBA player to score over 2,800 points, 500 assists, and 500 rebounds in a single season.
Well, that's interesting. So really one of the pitches has been against him, he's just a scorer.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying if you look at the raw numbers, now my question is if you could research it during the show or we're talking about tomorrow, that point total threshold, how many people have ever gotten above that?
He's the first one.
No, I understand with the 500 and 500, but just if all you said is how many people have gotten over 20.
Oh, I looked that up.
Because if it's only like three people, then maybe, but if it was like 10, 12, 15 people, it's ever gotten over that, and he's the only one that diversified with his assists and rebounds, now that would be impressive. All right, so far, 3-0 going against, quite frankly, the NBA. Steve Fezzik, never one to be afraid to go against the masses. If you saw his shirt today, you'd know that for sure. He is going the other way.
Yeah, they got it right with Harden as the MVP, RJ, and it's all about Harden and all these points he scored. Of course he scored all these points. He was padding his stats all year long. How many times, Brad, did we have to see Houston up 12 with 2 minutes to go, and Harden takes the last five shots when he should be on the bench? He was well aware of the historical pace he was at as far as scoring and continued it. Giannis scored 28 points per game, but he made everybody on his team better as he played at a high level. He got 7 more rebounds per game than Harden did, and here's the kicker. Giannis, defensive player of the year.
Hold on a second. 7 more rebounds a game than Harden. How tall was Giannis?
Fair enough, but Giannis got a whole like 13 rebounds a game, which is just tremendous. So he was great across the board offensively. And you could make the case that Harden was a little bit better offensively to his team. But defensively, Harden, it's kind of an afterthought oftentimes on the defense that he plays. Giannis was second in the league in voting for NBA Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, now, by definition, we're questioning that voting by having this debate. Because if it was just, who's better, Giannis or Harden? Well, it's Giannis because he won. Brad, you've got a counter, but Fez, when that's happening, now don't get nervous. Look up on your computer your favorite stat now is called, oh, you know the stat?
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm going to.
Go ahead.
Great minds think alike, RJ. Fez, this year you finally embraced some of the analytics out there. What's your new favorite stat when it comes to the NBA?
Real plus minus.
And it just so happens I have the real plus minus here compared to the two. James Harden, 7.42 real plus minus. Nearly a full point better than Giannis.
Okay.
In your favorite category.
And what I noticed was, because I had just glanced at that recently, Giannis was like 7th or 8th in the league.
Yep.
On defensive real plus minus.
Yep.
So are we talking defensive
this
or the whole
full,
one?
Full
okay,
plus
now
nine.
That's interesting. If you would, Brad, because it would be much easier, is look, I mean, Fez starting his computer, like, remember on the Waltons, a lot of you guys probably don't remember, they used to have those cars, you had to crank them. I mean, there's a variation of that with him in the computer. if I recall, and we'll get the exact number, if we're talking defense, And this obviously backs you up. Giannis was one of the better defensive players statistically, forgetting voting, which has some biases. We all know that. So your point is they're almost the same scoring, Giannis and Harden, but Giannis is better in every other way.
Correct.
Giannis was 11th in defensive real plus minus.
I mean, across the whole league.
Yep.
So quite good. Harden, I don't think the screen roll was long enough, I'm guessing.
Fair enough.
All right. Here's what I think. I'm going with Giannis because it feels like Giannis's style of play will lend itself better to winning basketball. I'm just not sure how you can win in the playoffs. How can you win in the playoffs playing the way Houston has? And is it, and again, that isolation, that one guy at the top of the key dribbling, forget entertainment value. But can you? What is the NBA? The NBA is a TV program at its core. Just look at its revenues. Now, you might say, wow, there's this many revenues that aren't TV. But imagine if they were off TV. NBA just was off TV for 5 years. Nowhere. How much smaller would the NBA be? They would obviously lose all the revenue for TV. They would lose so much more. Merchandising, ticket sales, etc. You know what the analogy is? Wrestling. If you read any book on the history of wrestling, you know, again, this is WWF, WWE style, Georgia Championship, Gordon Soley type stuff for the old timers out there. It's a situation where they used to buy time. You'll see some of those touty types from the previous generation where they'll be like, you've heard these shows probably on Saturday morning. Where there's a guy on there going, sell the house, sell the car, sell the kids, bet this game. You really think the program director said, that's what we need on Saturday morning? No, because they don't want to pay someone to come in. The national feed's fine, whatever network it is. But, especially on the weekends if Jonas is on, but if they can get $5,000 a month for that goofy hour in the morning, that local TV station's going to be ecstatic over it. The NBA is getting paid billions for their product to be marketed to the world. It's a TV show. Who in the right minds thinks Houston-style basketball is the most interesting TV show? Fez, you're nodding on the radio.
No one would.
little tip, guys. If you have any emotion, don't do it with gestures. Do it with words.
You never hear anyone say, oh, the beautiful basketball that the Houston Rockets play.
And no one would hear it, especially if you did it with your eyes.
Correct.
All right. That includes you too, Brad.
Yep.
You got it?
Well, I was trying to process.
Oh, geez.
No.
Speed it up. Get a new chip. So I think what we're going to find out is that the league's going to do all they can to discourage it, just like they did the Hack-A-Shaq. It might take them a while, but what Houston's doing, and we've seen it in the playoffs itself. I mean, what team has underperformed in the playoffs more in the last 2 years? Houston, right? I mean, maybe you could look at, is there another one?
Oklahoma City.
Really?
I mean, yeah, not winning.
They were a lower seed. Just because you were laying the lumber with them doesn't mean that was the right answer. I know you were disappointed by it, but especially if you look at the injury situation they had, you know. But even so, what were the expectations for them to win one more series? Houston's was what? Could have won the title the last 2 years. They had Houston has the one of the top two records in the regular season in the last couple years.
165 games last year, and this year over 50, yes.
Yeah, so to me, it's back to one of the things we'll be talking about at length, which is how regular season NBA is different than postseason. So not only is Houston style, I think, less TV friendly, which means ultimately the league's going to do something to stop it, but I also think that in a seven-game series, when you're doing the same thing again and again and again, the teams are in a better position to stop at game four, five, and six. And let's be honest, when's Houston been the weakest in their series?
Late in the series.
Yep. Late in the series. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. And it's something we'll be talking about a good bit when it comes to the next few days. Difference between regular season and postseason. Because you know something? Giannis didn't make the finals. Harden didn't make the finals. Milwaukee was the favorite to make the finals, Fez. You know that. You bet on them in the East.
Against you. You won with Toronto.
And Houston was the second favorite.
Yes.
In the West to make it. So think about this. First favorite, second favorite, two MVP candidates, neither makes the finals. It probably shows both of their games are the types that are better in the regular season.
A victim of the infamous Malachi Crunch.
So I'm going to give it to Giannis, and I don't care how many people disagree.
All right, guys, so let's get to our awards as we continue on here. You guys were 6-0, as we mentioned earlier, in your NBA winners last night. And we go to Rookie of the Year, where Mavs rookie Luka Doncic won it, taking home the honor. RJ, another win for you guys in Vegas.
That is correct. Hey, he doubled up there. I like that. All right, Jonas. Well, I'm going to text your agent. You get another 100 words this week.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Well, 97 now. All right. Now, Fez, this is interesting. You've got your top players in the NBA list. Now, famously, and it happened less than 24 hours ago, but it is famous, you had a five-way tie for first. I mean, talk about taking the tough stand.
Yeah.
So you've actually you got out the pencil last night, and I forced you to actually do that. Now, we're going to do that in a few minutes. But what interested me just glancing at it is Doncic was rare in his youth on your list.
Yeah, so Doncic was number 17 in my list. And RJ, if I went all the way down to 30, there's no one else in the league that's a first or a second year guy that made my top 30. Yet Doncic, rookie, made my top 20.
Yeah, so first, as in last, the most recent season being a season, the season before that. The exception, Simmons actually has only played two full seasons. He's on your list, but he had the aborted season or whatever you want to call it. Okay, what did you like about, I mean, that's a pretty rare, rarefied air to be one of one, either a first or second year player, freshman or sophomore, I guess how they say in the All-Star deal they do or did. What is it about Doncic that you like so much?
Well, I love the fact he played for a team, Dallas, that I got to be honest here, RJ. I didn't watch a lot of Dallas Mavericks games, but I went ahead and read the analytics guys that were following Dallas, and they said Dallas was really not trying its best to win games, some suboptimal.
Wait, not trying their best to win games. What does that mean?
Tanking, potentially. Not trying to have a good record. And
all right,
yet,
so Doncic. So what you're saying is the environment was such that if a rookie didn't want to play hard, it wouldn't have probably been scrutinized too much by his GM, his coach, and still he played hard.
Exactly. He was ready to go every game.
And, you know, I'm always careful when it comes to I think people are so sloppy. And listen, I don't call out media very often. I might call out specific media if they act like they're gambling experts and they're not. Or if they're 5'8" and they act like they're 5'11". I mean, but in general, I don't like to do that, across the board. And I think using tanking so loosely, we could spend a whole show defining the difference between suffering now for later, which is making a lot of trades, let's say, that give you future draft choices. Teams do that all the time. I mean, do we really think the Pelicans are going to be better next year for trading AD? No freaking way. The question is, will they be better in 2 or 3 years? Is that tanking? Versus if a guy's got an injury and maybe you sit him for longer than he should, is that tanking or is that being extra precautious because these games don't mean as much? versus what you're saying, which we're not saying is absolutely true, but it looks like there were some subtle decisions made by Dallas late in games that were not optimal. And that's something that would be more towards truly tanking, and probably something that I'm not sure the NBA would be okay with, though obviously it's subjective, because we might think, the analytics guys might think this lineup's better, but coaches have every right to think they know more, or otherwise there'd be a lot of dudes with pocket protectors and calculators on being coaches, and we still haven't seen that yet.
All right, guys, next we go to the Coach of the Year Award, which you guys got correctly as well. This is the 6 for 6. All 6 you were right on. Mike Budenholzer is your Coach of the Year.
Fez, we're back to you and back to the critics on the sidelines. Budenholzer, he got a ton of criticism at the end of the playoffs again. We're back to this dichotomy, regular season playoffs. To the point that when we would talk about Milwaukee's games, usually your lead as our NBA originator, Steve Fezzik, usually your lead was, oh, why aren't they adjusting to this? Oh, the Giannis wall. Ah. And he's the Coach of the Year. Thoughts?
Yeah, he was better in the regular season, no doubt about it. All those advanced analytics and the playoff time came, and both coaches...
Hold on. All those advanced analytics and the playoff time came. I have no idea what that means.
Milwaukee bombing from threes, layups or three-point shots. They emphasized it during the regular season. It worked. They won 60 games.
All right, so let's think about this, because if you really break down what a coach... And these are going to be, I think, even too big of buckets to start with, but the coach is someone who manages the egos. I think with the Celtics coach this year, there was a chance, and in fact, let's be honest, I mean, on your crush wall, I mean, obviously Jimmy G used to be Van Vliet. There's just big, you know, rip tape and all that there on the side of the wall. And Stevens was mighty high on the list.
I was ready to move Brad Stevens up into potentially number one after a successful year. That didn't happen.
And it was weird because the picture he had was shirtless of Stevens. Like, I don't even know how he found that. But the fact is, what we saw was managing at least Kyrie's ego, it was problematic, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So manage an ego. X's and O's, obviously. Player talent evaluation. We want this guy. Dictating rotations. There's all kind of skill sets with a coach. And I'm not necessarily saying that any coach is the best at all of them. The question is, when you add them all up, how good a coach is. So I think, and another example, and the one that applies to Budenholzer, is the idea of what scheme are we going to run? Forget the play in a given situation. We run it, you know, if it's a college football, you playing pro style, you playing, you know, run and shoot esque type, you know, which are offshoots. Brad, you know, tick off a few more types.
Yeah, I mean, you can be real, go the option offense. You can,
yes.
And there's variations of all different ones. Run and shoot, you can go, you know, a
different
spread.
Styles. And I think what we've seen in the NBA is there's really two big sides to this. One side is old school, and old school sounds old. I mean, we mean 5 years ago, Phil Jackson type stuff, and the triangle would have been part of the old school, or modern, Golden State basketball, motion, threes, etc. Milwaukee was playing about as old school basketball as they could year before last. Budenholzer comes in, and they're at least up to the modern style. That changed by itself probably was the biggest thing he did. So they won a lot more games. He's getting Coach of the Year. The question is, other than that change, how is he as a coach? And at least from most accounts, and everyone, you know, listen, reasonable people can disagree, but by most accounts, Budenholzer was not superior when it came to in-game or in-game adjustments or between-game adjustments that you need to do during a 7-game series.
Agree. Nick Nurse made adjustments. So did Budenholzer. And ultimately, Nick Nurse's adjustments won out.
Nick Nurse, who literally wasn't a head coach before last year. When we come back, we're going to finish up the awards and also look at Fez's five best players in the NBA. They're actually ranked 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Up next, we will take a look at the most anticipated list in show history, and it's yours next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. We continue to look at the NBA awards from last night. You guys went 6 for 6. We get to Defensive Player of the Year, which went to Rudy Gobert.
6 for 6. That's Craig Gobert. Anyone disagree? Anyone got color? What's our thoughts on this one?
No disagreement for me.
I agree. He's the goalie for Utah. He's tremendous and stops all the penetration at the paint.
Now, we've seen the team without him, and it feels like not – because if you think about a good wing defender, you could say, oh, you know, back in the day, Kawhi against LeBron, you know, when it was San Antonio against LeBron and the team, it was, you know, if you take that away, not that LeBron wouldn't have played better, but it would have been the same style game just at that – key position, defending LeBron would have been more of a challenge, less effective. But when you have a rim protector and then you take him out, the fundamentals of the whole defense changes. The premise, the paradigm, the founding assumption is gone. I think those guys are even more valuable. Do you generally agree with that, Fez?
I do.
All right, so I think they got it right on this one.
Sixth man of the year, another one you guys got correct last night in the NBA awards, goes to Lou Williams of the LA Clippers.
All right, now, Brad, one of my premises coming into this was, boy, does the regular season results look to be the key. Now, they voted for it at the end of the regular season. So, yeah, regular season is what they counted. But, Lordy B, the idea that seemingly everybody on this list did better during the regular season. I mean, think about it. Giannis underperformed in the postseason. Budenholzer, Doncic didn't even make it. And there's one that's coming up that did really well in the postseason, but you also said, no, Sweet Lou, as you call him, great postseason. Make the case.
All right, so Lou Williams plays for the Clippers. They're a historic underdog against the Warriors.
Wait, what does historic mean? The biggest underdog of all time?
I think they were the biggest underdog in the NBA playoffs in any series in 30 years.
Okay. And I'll give that to historic then. Go ahead.
And in the two wins that the Clippers managed, two of the biggest upsets we've seen in the playoffs, he had 36 and 33 points for a six-man.
So now we're counting two games.
Well, he still averaged 22 points per game in the postseason versus 20 in the regular season.
And it was four games?
Six games.
Okay. All right.
All right. The final one, number 6, 6 for 6 for the guys in Vegas. Most improved player is Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, he's good at geometry and in the playoffs, Fez, because this is the one, obviously, as well as he played in the regular season, Siakam, better in the playoffs.
Yeah, 20 points per game in the playoffs, outstanding.
That was it?
That's it.
20 points per game. So you could have just read the newspaper.
Well, he's a guy that was only averaging less than 15 come December.
All right, kept improving. All right, Fez, that's a C-. All right, we got a minute here. I'm going to give something on tonight's game, Rockies Giants. We're going to start integrating a lot of baseball, betting that goes on. This one, I'm going to go with the Rockies. And here's the thinking. On one hand, Colorado doesn't hit well on the road. They're worst with OPS. On the other hand, the way that the wind is blowing and some other factors don't make me want to play the over. And I'm going to go a lean. I mean, I'm not betting this on the Rockies, and it's really driven by the fact that they've faced this pitcher, this veteran pitcher for the Giants for a long time. So lean only on the Rockies.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are Straight Out of Vegas. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio, and as always, on the iHeart Radio app.
Straight Out of Vegas!